The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and went as quickly as she could to a town in the hill country of Judah. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She gave a loud cry and said, "Of all women, you are the most blessed, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? From the moment your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Yes, blessed is she who believed that the promise made her by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit exalts in God my Saviour, because he has looked upon his lowly handmaid. Yes, from this day forward all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name, and his mercy reaches from age to age for those who fear him. He has shown the power of his arm. He has routed the proud of heart. He has pulled down princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, the rich sent empty away. He has come to the help of Israel, his servant, mindful of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, of his mercy to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back home. The Gospel of the Lord. Only a few weeks ago that an ancient statue of Our Lady on a tall pillar was smashed and the black flag of ISIS flown on the pillar where she stood in Mosul. Islam has a high regard, most of them, for Our Lady, but obviously not the group, the fundamentalists, at the moment. And we know that it's an incredibly hard time. Hard times, hardly saying it, you know, for Christians and other minorities in Iraq and the surrounding nations at the moment. But in the days of the early church, things were not so well either. St. John, who was writing the Apocalypse, Revelation, was exiled on what Patmos, what they call a brown island. It's a brown island because it's very hot and dusty and the searing heat. And one of the ways of punishing the prisoners was to make them work out in the open air in the heat. Terrible things were done, enough to make people lose hope in life and to despair. And it's John who writes, in the midst of all that, to reassure his fellow Christians, all will be well. And that opening, I know I've preached on it on other years, but for people that haven't heard it before, when, you see, that was the earth-shattering thing that John writes, heaven opened. And when heaven opened, there was the Ark of God. Now, that had been lost for centuries, and don't believe the Raiders of the Lost Ark that can find it. It's an American film, but it's nothing to do with the truth. The heavens opened, and there was the Ark. And what did they see when they saw the Ark? They saw a woman, clothed with the sun, standing on the moon, the 12 stars. Quite clearly, at least one person, it's Mary, and the child that's to come. And the dragon, with all those heads, you think of what's happening around. How many of the leaders have been toppled? That's what it was. The dragon toppling the leaders as he's coming down with that great tail. But trying to get to that child. But the child safe, because the child will be victorious. And that's the great message that John has, that the child, Jesus, is victorious. And it's his mother that we celebrate tonight. But St. Paul also picks that up in that second reading, that beautiful, wonderful chapter 15 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. It's the whole thing is about resurrection, absolutely fundamental to our faith. And what he's saying there is, Christ the first fruits, and if he is the first fruits, then obviously his mother, very much part of all that, but indeed all of us, because he says, every enemy, including the last enemy, will be destroyed. And the last enemy is death. And that is the victory that Christ wins. Of course, St. Paul elsewhere in his letter to the Romans that we had a couple of Sundays ago says, not these words but similar, that no war, no persecution, no atrocity, nothing can come in height or depth or anywhere else can come between us and the love of God made visible in Christ Jesus. Because Christ has won that victory. And so in the face of great tribulations, in the face of great trials, in the face of persecution, Paul and St. John can make these great statements because it wasn't wishful thinking, but it was tried and tested faith in God. And so as we celebrate the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, it's a life of tremendous faith in God in the face of violent testing. I think even from the earliest days, just that journey she made from Nazareth down to near to Jerusalem where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived. Yes, now we could speed down on an hour and a half on the motorway. Not in Mary's day. In Mary's day, it was a hazardous journey for a woman on her own. From the days of his infancy, the threats of Herod, the flight into Egypt. Through the days of his preaching, his coming back to Nazareth, and the people of Nazareth rejecting him and wanting to throw him down the cliff and kill him, to later in his life, Jerusalem's opposition, the mounting pressures and tensions that we notice all through Lent, the Lent season, to the days of his arrest and the passion, subsequent execution, and of course, resurrection. Mary lived in her own life the story of her son, as you that are mothers and grandmothers know only too well. Fathers as well, but it's mother we're concentrating on. Living that life, sharing that life, letting him be, letting life happen, all part of a parent's love for her child. And by the time that Jesus began his ministry, Mary had already divined that mysterious wisdom in her son, because she says to the people at Cana in Galilee at that wedding feast, "Do whatever he tells you." And that's the thing for us to learn all through our life. Often when people choose that reading at weddings, I make reference to the wine, but really, it's Mary saying, do what he tells you. If you've got a problem, we've no wine, we've got no food, we've got no this, we've got that, we've been persecuted. Do what he tells you. And that's part of the Christian's faith, is to discover what the Lord is saying to us. And it's her way of saying, do whatever he tells you, because all will be well, and all manner of things will be well. In our feast of this Assumption of Mary, body and soul into heaven, we celebrate the fulfillment of that promise in her own regard. God brought her to life, and brought her life to a glorious completion. The lowly handmaid of the Lord, the Mother of God and Queen of Heaven. And so in celebrating her feast, we're celebrating that life of faith. And no matter how hard that life can be, both for her and for us, all will be well when we keep faith in the Lord's promises. Because the last enemy to be destroyed is death. We will, as you familiar with me know we'll all end up here on some other church whenever it's the moment. But that's the last enemy. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not even death. We're always alive to him because he has conquered it. And so on this day, Mary, as part of those first fruits, heaven with transcendent joys, her entrance graced. Next to his throne, her son, his mother placed. And here below, now she's of heaven possessed, all generations are to call her blessed.